Our first reading is from 2 Timothy, starting at verse 1. And this can be found on page 1193. I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. This is the word of the Lord.
On page 972 in the Pew Bibles, and is taken from Matthew chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 5. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ. Do take a seat. Very good to be here with you this evening. We're going to be starting to look at that letter of Paul's to Timothy, second letter of Paul to Timothy. You might find it helpful to have that open in front of you. There should be Bibles somewhere round about. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Lord God, our Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, many a story can turn on a letter sent from one person to another, perhaps a love letter revealing deep truths about a relationship or about its breakdown and destruction, perhaps a political letter showing some new plan or underhand scheme, or the communication of a spy dropped in a dead letter box, exposing vital secrets to the other side. And just as letters can be important in fiction, so they can be in life. And perhaps the most obvious thing to notice from these first few verses of Paul's second letter to Timothy is that it is a letter we are reading. Obvious, I know, but important. We aren't being told a story. We aren't reading the reflections of someone looking back from afar at something that happened. No, we have a letter fired off from one Christian believer to another in the middle of life. Yes, reflecting on events going on, but ones happening here and now in front of the two of them. In both their cases, under pretty trying circumstances. And pretty much our passage today, those first six verses, are the formal opening to the letter. We have our own conventions, don't we, about how you set out a letter. Use of email hasn't caused us all to forget them altogether. We know the way that you lay out the page, the things you say at the beginning, the things you say at the end. And while it wasn't done quite the same, there were conventions too in the Greco-Roman society that Paul inhabited. And he follows something rather like the usual practice. Who's it from? Verse 1, Paul. Who's it to? Verse 2, Timothy. A word of greeting, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Wendy greeted us with those words as it happened this morning at the beginning of our service, borrowed, no doubt, from Paul. And then a word of thanksgiving. Don't know how many of our letters start with a word of thanksgiving, but that was the way at the time. It's rather a nice idea, isn't it? Verses 3 to 5 of our passage. And if we had lived in that world, just reading these words would make it clear to us what sort of thing we were reading. We're reading a letter. But these opening words tell us more than that, because they are the opening of a Christian letter, and we learn something about what it means to be a Christian, to be a member of the church, through this relationship between Paul and Timothy. And perhaps that might challenge us to think afresh about who we are, individually and together as the body of Christ in this place. And as we do it, we'll notice three things about Christian life. First, that it is personal. The way you relate to your brothers and sisters in faith really matters to being a Christian. Second, that it is theological, that God is somewhere at the heart of it. And third, beyond those, that it is practical, that faith isn't just a passive thing that draws us into relationships we can enjoy, but an active thing that sends us out in service of God and of one another. And we'll take those in turn. So first, Christian life is personal. Looked at from one angle, you could imagine this letter might be a business letter. After all, Paul is the lead missioner planting churches in various places around the Eastern Mediterranean. And Timothy is his assistant, in this case his delegate, to a rather troubled church in Ephesus. And we'll discover that there are elements of business to be conducted as we read through the letter. But that isn't its opening tone, that isn't its heart. Paul writes to Timothy, my dear son. He has memories of Timothy's life and history, of his mother and his grandmother, of their faith in God, of Timothy's tears, perhaps when they last parted from one another. And Paul constantly remembers Timothy when he prays, when he thinks about God's gift to Timothy. There is a reminder that Paul commissioned him through the laying on of his own hands. Put simply, Paul and Timothy had a deep relationship with one another. And we know there's much more shared memory we aren't told here. We can imagine some of it as we read through Acts and some of Paul's other letters. Now, what about us? When we look around the church this evening, you might want to look around. Who are all these other people who are here with us this evening? We know we aren't going to have the same relationship with the people we see around this building as Paul and Timothy had. That was their own relationship, of course. But we are nonetheless called into relationship with one another. We're unlikely to be parent and child in the faith to most of the other people in here. Though we might be to somewhat, or we might be to a few people, have that sort of relationship. But we are at the very least called to be a family, to be brothers and sisters together. So we can ask ourselves, do we know each other? Do we pray for each other? Do we weep for each other or with each other? Do we teach one another? Maybe there's something here for us to work at together and for us each to take away and pray for growth and encouragement in our own lives. Why? Because Paul and Timothy show us that Christian life is personal, deeply personal. But just as it is personal, it is also theological. It's a big word, I know, but it seemed to fit in my pattern of three. But by it, I just mean God is involved in it. God is involved. God is right there at the heart of Christian life. If this letter was just between two mates, Paul and Timothy, God wasn't in the frame at all, it wouldn't be the same sort of letter as we have here. And first, we see it in the picture of who Paul is. An apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Paul is an apostle. And we might think that takes us back into the business world of job titles and positions. But this isn't just Paul flashing his business card to us. It's Paul describing God's call on his life. He's an apostle. But not because he passed the tests or did well in the interview, not because he sat down one day and thought this looks an interesting career to follow on from being a Pharisee. No, Paul is an apostle by the will of God. It's God's call. And as you may remember, God didn't leave Paul tons of choice in the matter. Paul is what he is because of God. His life is an expression of the life that is promised to us all in Christ. But who am I? Who are you? What is God's call on our lives? Imagine that first verse with your own name at the start. What would you have instead of the word apostle? It isn't always easy to know the answer to this sort of question, but it's good to be thinking and praying about it. And then second, look at Paul's greeting to Timothy. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And his prayers of thanksgiving in verse 3. Because God is in the middle of this relationship, so prayer is at the heart of it. They pray for one another. They give thanks for one another. And again, we might ask, do we do that? When do we do that? How effectively do we do that? And then third for them, faith matters. It matters that it is grown and it matters that it's passed on. Lois and Eunice get their mention because they brought Timothy up in the faith and there is no greater gift. Paul's forebears are mentioned in verse 3 because they set a model for his service of God, in their case, in the Old Covenant faith. But it matters that faith exists and that it lives. Look at those last words of verse 5. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. Paul is concerned, maybe here we're hitting the point of the letter. Paul is concerned about Timothy's faith, about Timothy's relationship with God. Yes, Lois and Eunice have done their work, but that isn't the end of the story. And if faith ruptures, if faith disappears, well, everything else is gone as well. Paul doesn't think that's happened, but you sense he feels Timothy is in a tough place, under pressure, and he needs support in keeping close to God. In our church life too, it matters that we look out for one another like that. We have a concern about the faith of our brothers and sisters. We do it through all sorts of routes. Very good reason to be in a home group. Indeed, pretty much everything we're talking about this evening is a good reason to be in a home group, to help us grow with one another and with God. Talk to me later if you'd like to know more. But it's a good reason to come to church, to be here regularly with our brothers and sisters, to go for prayer if you need it, to seek pastoral support when times are hard. And we could carry on this list for a long way. Ultimately, God enlivens our faith, of course, but we also have a role in supporting each other in the life of faith, just as Paul does for Timothy. And here we're already moving on to that third point. If faith was just personal, just theological, it could seem rather passive. It happens, but it doesn't involve us in much. I think we've already seen that isn't the case. But in verse 6, we get the first words of the main body of the letter. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. Timothy needs to act. Paul has the pastoral concern we've been talking about, but he can't make it happen for Timothy. Timothy needs to stir up this gift he has. By gift, I think Paul means something like a special gift for service. God's gifts aren't prizes to put on the mantelpiece, or treats to go off and enjoy by ourselves when no one else is watching or there to eat them or whatever sort of treat they might be. They're to be used to build up the body of the church. So Timothy needs to keep going in the use of his. People disagree a bit about quite where Timothy stands here, what his situation is. Fan into flame sounds like things are burning along okay, but they could use a bit more life in them. Sometimes people translate this rekindle, and that sounds a bit like the fire's gone out and it needs to be started again. My sense, for what it's worth, is that there does seem to be plenty of life here in Timothy and in his faith. But there's still a concern Paul brings at the start of this very personal letter. And so he writes to encourage and to assist him. He'd love to see him in person, we will find out. But at least for now, a letter is the most he can do. But finally, when it comes down to it, Timothy needs to fan this gift of service into flame. The spirit that burns with the love of God is there with him to do it. But he needs to do it. Most likely that isn't just some spiritual exercise he's called to do day by day. For him, it probably means getting on with the job he's in Ephesus to do, dealing with this rather complicated church situation. And again, we probably aren't so different. Yes, we need to hear who we are, to recognize what gift we've been given. But then we need to get on with using it and to keep ourselves refreshed and enthused and encouraged in using it after perhaps many years of great service to the Lord. So we go on through this letter in the coming weeks. We'll learn more about Timothy's situation, the challenges he faced, Paul's response to them. But that's probably enough challenge for the time being. To keep burning brightly our faith and our gifts, to make a reality of them in the life of the church and its outreach to our friends, our neighbours, our community, to do it because it is the will of God, an expression of the promise of Jesus Christ. Yes, probably challenge enough for today, I think. So a moment of quiet, and then we'll pray. Father God, we thank you for Paul and for Timothy. We thank you for this glimpse into their relationship through this letter written all those years ago. And Father, we thank you for the things it shows us about what Christian life can and should be like, even in the midst of times of trial and trouble. Father, we thank you for the many places we see just those things in the life of our church family. And Father, we pray that they would grow in us collectively and in each of us individually. Fan into flame the gifts that we all have, that as we serve one another faithfully, we may grow more fully into the people you call us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.